The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13 cycles of Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length and much greater detail, with different participants and a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Shabbat brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim is Daf Nun Chet, and we are holding on the top line. Yesterday we were in the middle of discussing the definition of a kavul in the Mishnah. So we came out that even though originally Rabbi Yannai brought up the possibility that a kavul might be one of two things. It might be referring to a kippah shel tzemer, which is worn under the head, which in the end he decided is what it must be in the Gemara, because of the context of the discussion that we had subsequently about Rav Shimon ben Elazar, whether it hangs, it's under the hat or not. And it might also have been a kavlad avda, which is a type of a signet that can be made out of different materials. We're going to see what material it's referring to here, which indicates that the bearer, whether it's worn around the neck or worn around on a beged, that the bearer is the property of someone. So it's like a brand on him that he's an eved or that she is a shifchat. In this case, we'd be talking about a woman who would be wearing one of these things. Today, Shmuel takes up the other approach. Shmuel Amar, but actually it's the Kavod HaAvda, it's not. It is referring to the Kavod HaAvda. Now, the problem is that opens up a whole can of worms, because Mi Amar Shmuel Hachi, how could Shmuel have said that the Mishnah is ossering a Kavod HaAvda, and therefore, obviously, he argues on the whole discussion that we had yesterday about, well, it's a Kavod HaChomer, he doesn't agree with any of that. And Shmuel himself was reported as saying a different thing. That actually an Eved can go out wearing a kavla around his neck. He cannot wear one of these things on his beged. And we don't want to say that the Mishnah is talking about a chotam on his beged, because the Mishnah is talking about stam chotam botas, and it's talking about differences. We don't want to look at that as the differences Tosfos explains. So how do we explain away this contradiction in Shmuel? Is the Kavod HaAvda asur or mutar? Lo kasha. How the avad le'rabi, how the avad ihu le'nafshe. There's a big difference. If his Adam made this, then he's never going to take it off because he's terrified of being spotted without it. And then the Adam is going to get the idea that he's planning a getaway, or that he doesn't enjoy the fact that he's an Eved, horrors, and therefore he'll get in trouble. So he doesn't want to take it off. Mashenkin, if he made it for himself, so no, he feels free to take it off and he's out in the shuk. Yeah, it's a covet for his, it's a covet for his Adam, and it's fine.
Servant of the people.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so now we're saying that there's two completely different cases. If he made it for himself, then he may carry it. On the other hand, where is it? Mutter. It's mutter where his Adai made it for it. So when did Shmuel say he's allowed to walk out with it? Where Shmuel says that it depends whether it's on his neck or it's on his clothing. That's talking about where his Adai made it. And his Adai, therefore, would be makbid if he took it off, and he's never going to take it off. But then I don't understand. If that's what it's talking about, then why, if he's wearing it on his clothing, is it considered to be asur? This should be exactly the same. He's not going to take it off. Amarlo. Well, that's because it might break. And what would happen if it breaks? What would happen if it breaks is that it's more kedai for him to take off his t-shirt that says property of so, obviously it's with the thing on it. He takes it off, folds it up, pretends that he's very hot, puts it over his shoulder so no one should notice that it's missing the badge that says so-and-so's Eved, because that way at least he's not going to be accused of taking it off and trying to escape. So it looks bad, but if he folds his beged and whatever it was on and puts it over his shoulders, he's going to be over on an Isser of Otsah, because you can only take out a beged that you're wearing. You cannot take out a beged just because it's a talit. You'll take it out and say, hey, it's a talit, it's okay, what do you mean? You're not wearing it. And therefore, if it would be mifsa
He would be afraid that the other would accuse him of mirtat. He'll be miktalei, he'll fold it up, mochitlei akatvei, put it over his shoulders, and then he will be chayev akatat, and be nisidiraita, and Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, and Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, and Rabbi Yochanan, hayotzei betalit mekupelet, and menachat lo akteifat b'shabbat, you walk out with a talit that's folded, and it's put over your shoulders, that's pure hotza'ah. Chayav chatat. Don't think because something has the name of a beged that somehow that magically makes it mutar. There's no such thing as carrying a beged. There's only walking out yourself. And when you're wearing a beged, it's part of yourself. If you're carrying it, it's not carrying anything else. V'chiyadi amalei Shmuel Rabchinen Abar Shila. We know that this was actually an interesting event that took place halakha l'maisa. Because even though we don't have, obviously didn't have avadim mamash, but the Reish Galuta did have his favorite kailal, you know. And one of the things is when you're a kailal that lives by the Reish Galuta, you know, you wear the little kailal t-shirt and so on, and it's very chashuv to show that you're in the Reish Galuta's kailal, right? So he told all of the Talmidim over there, he said, listen, anybody who lives, Kulurabad the Reish Galuta, they wear these little badges, you know, Tzva Hashem, I think it said in those days. So, lo livkele besar vele chatime. None of you should walk out on Shabbat with these shirts that have that little badge on them. Because if the pin breaks off, so then what's going to happen is you're going to fold it over your shoulder to make it look like you're worm missing it, and then you'll be over on Hotza. Except for you, of course, always the Chidina gets away with Chayin. So the Chidina Bar Shila, you don't have to worry about, he likes you, you know. And nobody's going to be mocked on you. So therefore, you wouldn't do that, you know. But Lavarvi Nachtalot Kaptalot Vavei Reish Galut. This is basically the same idea. Anything that you would prefer that people don't think you're not wearing, it would already be afraid that you're going to fold it off. Gufa. Okay, so let's get now into the details of Shmuel, where he's mechalek between the Chotem Shebet Tzavaro and the Chotem Shebet Ksuto. So Omer Shmuel, Yotzei Ha'Eved B'Chotem Shebet Tzavaro, it's okay for him to go out wearing that Chotem Shebet Tzavaro, where we're talking about the Adon having made for him, because he's never going to take it off for fear of angering his Adon. But not the Chotem Shebet Ksuto, because over there, if it falls off, he's going to end up folding it. That's what you said. And in fact, we have support for that in the Braita. Tanya Amiachi, Yotzei Ha'Eved B'Chotem Shebet Tzavaro, V'lo B'Chotem Shebet Ksuto. Problem is that we have a Braita that actually says the opposite, which shouldn't bother us too much, because the Mishnah says the opposite, right? The Mishnah says don't go out at all, even with the Chotem. So, V'ramino lo Yetzei Ha'Eved B'Chotem Shebet Tzavaro, V'lo B'Chotem Shebet Ksuto. And you'll say to yourself, okay, we already know the answer to that. It was the same way that we explained the difference between the Mishnah and the Shmuel in the first place. Namely, and that's what we're going to suggest over here, namely, that one of them is talking about Ovid Le'Rabbe and one is talking about Ovid Le'Nafshe. But we're going to see that that is not the correct answer here. But let's first read the whole Braita, which is actually, subconsciously, later on I'm going to explain why, but that is how we know and we can foresee that it's not a good answer. V'zeh v'zeh in mekablin tum'ah. Now this is a whole new thing, right? Neither type of chotem would be mekabel tum'ah, because what kind of kli is it? And you're certainly not going to say it's a decoration. I mean, it's something you prefer not to wear at all. So for all intents and purposes, it's a sign. A sign is not mekabel tum'ah. Fine. V'lo bizuk shebet tzavaro. And furthermore, an eved cannot go out wearing a bell around his neck. He can go out wearing a bell on his clothing. Again, all of this, the Gemara is going to explain what the difference is. Zev is a arbekabel tuma. And since over here it's a bell is actually mekabel tuma. When it comes to a behemah, we need to know all this. We're going to see later on that each piece really brings out a whole different idea. So let's have the patience to go through the whole baraita. When it comes to an animal, lo tetzei behemah, lo bechotam shebet tzavara, lo bechotam shebet ksuta. An animal, on the other hand, should not be walking around with this type of chotam. Lo bezug shebet ksuta, nor should it be wearing a bell, and not on its clothing. I suppose it's wearing some type of blanket. Lo bezug shebet tzavara. Now, lechor, what this is saying is because there's no such thing as the takshit for an animal, and therefore it would purely be a question of identification again, ringing, I'll know whatever, we'll see later on, I'll know where it is, and therefore not allowed to have your animal carry on Shabbat. V'zeh v'zeh im mekablim tumah, and since it's an animal zug, it is not mekabel tumah. Now, getting back to what you think is the only problem over here, which is, why does it say, as it does in the Mishnah, that the Eved cannot walk out with the Chotep Shabbat Sefer, whereas on the other hand, Shmuel says you can. So I know what you're going to say. Lema, must we say here as well, Hodi Ovad Le'Rabi, Ovad Yulanavshe? And the difference is that since he made it for himself, he may well take it off on Shabbat and therefore end up carrying it. Mashenka, in the other case, talking about where it's also here, it's talking about where the other made it for him and he's terrified to take it off for being accused of being a runaway. No, that's not the only answer we can say. And we are soon going to see why we prefer not to say that here. Look, it actually, both cases, would be talking about that the Adon made it, but you're forgetting that there's another issue. The other issue is Merumas, as we're going to see, in the fact that we introduced the question of Tumah. If we were talking about the standard Zug that we were talking about until now, that's not made out of a material anyway that is Shayach to Tumah. That's a seal. A seal is made out of teeth, usually. It's made out of some kind of wax or some kind of clay or whatever. It's not a real clay. Once you're talking about Tumah, you know darn well we can't be talking about teeth, because what difference would it make what it is? So if you're telling me it's Makabal or not Makabal Tumah, it's at least got to be made out of a material that would be Makabal Tumah. Therefore, we now understand that obviously there's another issue here. The Mishnah is talking about the Zug, even where it would be made out of teeth. But here we're talking about Matechet. That raises a new problem, which is if it breaks, if it was referring to teeth, if it breaks, then I have no reason to carry it. It's completely worthless. So therefore, my only issue is whether I'm going to take it off in order to put it back on. I don't have a problem if it's breaking. But in this case, I have a problem if it's breaking, because if it breaks, it's valuable, and the metal could be fixed. I'm going to bring it home, so I'm scared the audience is going to be furious. What, you just left it there? So therefore, we have a new chashash, and that is that I'll carry it. So both cases are talking about Avad Rabbi. He certainly wouldn't take it off, but since in the latter case here, it's talking about was made out of matechet, kan b'shal matechet, therefore he'll carry it. So kan b'shal matechet, kan b'shal tit, ukerev natanom rabba bar abua, the klalbi, davar makpid alav rabbo, something which is a material that the Odin is going to want him to bring back because it's worth money, he can't walk out on Shabbat with, because if the pin breaks, then he's going to carry it back. But a davar she'ein makpid alav, he is able to be yotzebo. And you know how we knew this all along? Hachirami mistavra. Because once you introduce the issue of Tumah, so since it says zev ze'ein mekablim Tumah, okay, what does that teach you? Obviously, that we're talking about matechet. Because yamit bishlam eshal matechet, if we're talking about a material, at least, which can be, under other circumstances, be mekabel tumah. So then it makes sense to address the question of whether the chotemet here, the kavla, is mekabel tumah. So hani udalo mekabel tumah, even though it's made out of metal, it's not considered to be a clear or a takshit of any kind. It's a sign. Metal sign is not mekabel tumah. But a kli, a real kli that was made out of metal, would be makabel tumah. Kalim didu would be makabel tumah. If you're going to tell me we're talking about Bishal Tit, why the heck are we addressing tumah? What do you say? Since it's a kabla, hani udalo makabel tumah. What? And if it was a real kli, it would be makabel tumah. It also would be makabel tumah. Kalim didu makabel tumah is not the rule that tanya kli avanim kli gilalim kli adamah. Adamah's tit. In the kabbalah, tumah lo mi divrei Torah, lo mi divrei sofrim. It's completely not shayach to tumah. So it would be absurd to start addressing whether the kabbalah is makabel tumah. Shema min hashem matechet. Therefore, obviously, we're talking about matechet over here, and therefore, we've got a whole different issue. Shema min. Okay, now let's get on. Once we introduced already the bell, let's get on to discussing what the difference is of a bell b'tzavaro or a bell b'ksuto. Let's take a look at that. Omer. I don't understand. What's the problem with walking out with a bell? So the Zuksha Batsavaro, what's your problem? The problem obviously is, as we said, even when we're talking about the Avad Le Rabbi Richie, but the problem is that if it breaks, you're going to carry it because it's valuable. Okay. So the Amayla Dima Mitzigate La Tuyes. Why isn't there a problem with the pin that holds the bell in place breaking off and him carrying the bell because he's afraid of the other being furious at him from losing his bell? So Zuk Shemitzkutah, it's exactly the same problem. Nami Lechish Dima Mitzig Viyati La Tuyes. No, what we're talking about over here is a bell that is not connected with a pin. We're talking about a bell, it's talking about over here that it was woven directly into the cloth of the baguette as a decorative thing, and that's not something that can't fall out. And that's something that's common. That's why we didn't say earlier the chotam should be ksutos, the same thing, because that's not something you put into a bag. But the norm is that you make begotten this way. So it makes sense to say it, as Tosis points out. And therefore, once that's true, then already it's not shach to be gozer. And you know what? Remarkably, in a completely different context, we brought up the dinner of Yeshua earlier when we were talking about the type of ritzuot that are hollow inside and therefore can't be pulled tight. Now that was, we said, nitz is not a problem because water is allowed to come in and therefore you don't have a problem with chatzitza, right? Amazingly, we didn't even understand that there's a dual meaning to the word that anything that is knitted is not a gezer. Because one thing is stam, begabe chatzitza, but the other meaning of it is, as Rav Huna b'Rebbe Yeshua, Tosfos points out, it must be more understood, there was a double meaning, that anything which is orug lo gozru, another meaning to that is anything that's connected to the beget through arika, there's no gezer lagabe falling off on Shabbat. Over there we're talking about chatzitza, take it off for tefillah shalom mitzvah. Here we're talking about koshu orug lo gozru, the problem of whether it will fall, obviously it doesn't mean orug in the same way, but nonetheless the understanding was that this rule is meant to be taken in both senses. Oh, mama. Now let's talk about the animal. And in either event, since it's of an animal, so in other words, what you seem to be saying is that something that is made for an animal is not shayach to be a tash. That's not true. Yes, the Gemara. You're telling me that a zuga bebeima is not a kabel tuma? It says beferish for aminu. Zug shel beima is tamei. So it's a beferish of bright and kelim that an animal's bell is tamei. A bell that is on a door to make it ring when you open, often happens in a store, you open up the door and it rings. So that is tahor. Why is that tahor? Because a delet is considered to be part of a house. The house is connected to the ground, and anything that is a bechor b'lekark is not a kabel tumah. Okay, if it started off being a doorbell, and then you took it off of the door, and you put it around an animal's neck, then it is tameh. But if it originally was made for a behemah, and then you made it a bell on a delet, and now you're going to say, oh, so now it loses its tumah, right? Because I made it on a delet. No, it doesn't lose its tumah. Not only that, even if you took nails and you hammered it into the door, so you say, okay, well, now it's completely mechubar to the door. It should for sure lose its tumah because it's part of a house. It still is not going to lose its tumah. When I say lose its tumah, I don't mean literally lose its ability to be mechabal tumah, either way. Whether it actually was tamei, losing the ability to be mechabal tumah. So there, apa b'shechibrola delet, v'kava obim asperim, it's still tamei. Why? Because the central rule in the din of tumat kelim is in order to turn something into a kli to be mechabal tumah, you need only decide what you're going to use it for. So therefore, the moment that you took it off the door and you decide you put it on this animal, it's going to be a makabel tuma. Because you don't need to do a maisa to make something royal a makabel tuma. However, in order to take something out of its state that was already defined as being a kli to be a makabel tuma, you can't just decide it's, Richard, can't decide it's not a kli. You got to do something. So I did do something. I took a nail. No. Do something means to change the actual object, not how it is that you connect the object. And that's the big klal that kol hakelim yordim lidei tumatam b'machshava ve'en olim lidei tumatam ela b'shinui ma'aseh. Fine. Okay, but bottom line is, forget all the details. Does it or does it not say over here that a bell on an animal is definitely mekabel tumah, and therefore it's considered to be a kli? You're telling me that if it's a zug on a beim, it's not mekabel. Well, I mean, there's a big difference. Lo kasha. How to eat le inbal, how to let le inbal. One is talking about where you have a clapper in the bell. If it's a clapper, then it's a working bell. But just to have a bell as a decoration, that's not a kli on an animal. Why is that? Manavshach, I don't understand. If you hold that a bell is considered to be a type of kli, manu, So what's the difference? I will be deliberately in ball, so it doesn't have a clapper. If you tell me it's not a kli, just adding a clapper makes it a kli. Well, what is? How does a clapper turn something into an effective instrument? Mashvile mona? Yes, is the Gemara. An instrument that makes noise is an instrument. And therefore, the Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman Yom Rabbi Yonatan, the Torah tells us that the production of sound is a valid definition of the word instrument as a kli. Where does it tell us that? It says, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman Yom Rabbi Yonatan, minayim l'mashmiya kol b'klei matachot shu tamei. How do we know that a metal instrument is tamei? Shenema, remarkably, and once again we have a double level of meaning, as Tosafot points out, when we came back with the shalal from the Klei Midyan. So you have all of the dinim over there, you know, you got to go to shekelim, you have to be magil, you have to put it, you need some things, need libun, kol davar sheyavo beish, you have to bring it beish, and we had the din of remes, the tefilat kelim, go be tevilet. But look, kol davar sheyavo beish tavir beish. Why do you use the word davar? Just say, kol sheyavo beish, anything that's used in fire. Since it says over here davar, davar always means dibur, sound. Speaking of which, so afilo dibur, guns make noise, don't they? Afilo dibur yavo be'esh. So that's what it's talking about. Even making noise is considered to be yavo be'esh, and obviously yavo be'esh is irrelevant because yavo be'esh has to do with the kashers. You're not eating in this bell. But again, it's just saying we're utilizing the indication of the nature of kalim together with, because we do, after all, consistently take a look at Klei Midyan, and we use it as a makor for tefillat kalim. What does that have to do with anything? So we always understand the Klei Midyan as being definitive of the nature of kli, not just of kashrut. And therefore, on the level of the kli, the dibur now turns it into a kli. So if it can make noise, then it's a kli because it serves not the animal, it serves the other. So the actual noise that it's making is my ability to identify where my animal is. And therefore, it's a valid kli. It's megabel tuma. Okay, so now let me get this straight. B'mayu kimta b'daletle inbal. So you're saying where it said that it's, Zev says, not megabel tuma, it's talking about there's no clapper, right? So I don't get it now. Because take a look at the middle of that bride. Look at the middle of the bride. It says the animal cannot walk out wearing zuk shebet zavaro, but can walk out using zuk shebet suto. And the oven, the eved rather. The zevze is mekabel tuma. So why is that? If it doesn't have an inval, I thought it's not mekabel tuma. I mean, doesn't it say v'raminu? Obviously, we understand where we're going with this, because just because we switch now to turning the bell into a functional instrument doesn't mean that a bell on an adam cannot also be a decorative beged, so to speak. So it's a decorative kli. Tasha would be makabel tuma. The Gemara is trying to reach a happy medium over here. But there are cases in which even a bell that is utilized by humans is not makabel tuma as tashit, it's only makabel tuma as a ringer. And that's why we need to bring in this other extreme in order for us to understand what is what. So, when it comes to an animal, there's no tashit for the behema, only if it's functional for a human, which means it has to ring. When it comes to the eved, over there, it doesn't seem to matter. It's makabel tuma, whether or not it rings. The problem is that we do have also a braita which tells us clearly in Kelim that if it doesn't ring, that it's not the makabel tuma, even where it is used for Adam. What is that? For Amino. Somebody puts bells on a machteshet. So he's got here his mortar and his pestle. He wants to make something that smells nice. He's going to be crushing cinnamon with other spices and so on. Now, as we know, hakol yafele b'samim. So he wants to make noise while he is doing the work. The prettier the noise, the nicer the smell. And that we've always spoken about shame, sound, identifiers with smell, right? They're always interrelated. So, I don't know how. I take it as a matter of faith. Every day you say, Akoya Philip Samim, you read them, right? Don't you read the Parshas HaKetoret?
It has halachic importance.
Very much so. It has a practical importance. If you want your besamim to smell nicely, have bells. So they would put bells onto the machteshet. And for an arisa on a child's, what do you call those? Not a crib, a cradle. On a child's cradle, And that, you know, it's oftentimes people do that. And you can put it on mitpachot asfarim. The Sifrei Torah have bells when you carry them. And that way the kids hear the bells and they come running and they kiss the Sifrei Torah. Ulam mitpachot, tinakot. All of these things where you put it on. Also many times kids, you know, the kids have bibs and so on. They have little bells on them. On the shoes, yeah. Yeah, well, now we've got even lights, you know. Yeshlam inbal, and here it says only if they have a clapper, they're tahor. They don't have a clapper, they're tahor. If they were originally made with clappers, and then the clapper was removed, nitluin b'leihem, they retain their tumah. And remember that that's often that we'll see later on that where we have a kli that originally is unfinished, it's an ever mekabel tumah. Once it's finished, now it gets a hole in it. So then we have all these different dinim. The clay balibatim, as a whole, used to use it for peanuts, you know. Now you put in pomegranates. It's also considered to be kli. That's going to make an afkamina later on. We'll see as we get through this sukkah what our interim thoughts were about it. So if you take out the inbal, the tumor remains on it. Okay, so how do you explain that? Where in Evitz, where again, you're saying without an inbal, never had an inbal, is still considered to be tumah. Over here with the child, if it was made without an inval, it's not tummy. Well, of course. That's because the purpose of all the things that we had over here, the maktesha, the tinoket, is the sound. So, of course, without an inval, it was never nigma malachto. So, I mean, the tinok, you're talking about a child, an infant. There, the point is the kol, the kala avida, avogadol. What am I doing? I need something to throw at Richie. Do we have anything solid? Avogadol is a takshit.
And,
over there, afagav the letle inbal, it's going to be matame, and so we have over here completely different issues. We have the pure takshit, we have the shimush for the adam, where the shimush on the behema demands that he be able to identify it. We have the shimush where the sound per se, the noise that it's making is the shimush, whether that's for a baby or for making ketoret, as the case may be, calling the kids to the sefer Torah. If the purpose is sound, then without the sound, it's not finished. If the purpose is decoration, that's not shayach to a behema, but it is shayach to an eva, and it's not the purpose on the tinok. There you go. Amir Mark, I want to focus now on that last piece, which we, of course, looked ahead on, and that is nitblu inbileham, and you take out the inbal, it doesn't lose its tumah. Dain tumah tamaleham, it's not considered to be a broken kli. Why not? Well, my chazer, I mean, it's useless, isn't it? It's broken. Omer Abaye, because remember, we're talking about kelim that are meant to make noise. If you broke it, why is it mekabel tumah? Omer Abaye, it's not considered to be broken if any idiot can put it back on. How many times have you put an inbal back into a zook? Are you a master craftsman? All it requires is sticking it in and pressing a little piece of metal and making it tight again. That's all. So therefore, since it had yod yachol zero, something is not called broken. We could put it back together without any problem. Mativ Rava, excuse me, that is definitely not true, because here it says hazugva inbal chibur, that if you have a zug and an inval, there it's talking about the question of doing hazaya. So if you spring, let's say, if something is a chibur, both to be mekabel tumah, let's say only the outside of the bell touched the band. Doesn't matter, the inval is by definition exactly the same tumah. Let's say only the inval was got the zrika of the main nidah of the paraduma on it, the whole thing is tall. So it would be considered to be a chibur. But that means chibur, that it needs to be mechubar, but otherwise it's not. Don't try. I know what you're going to tell me, says Rav Tabai. You're going to tell me it's a chibur, meaning it's a virtual chibur. Since it's one kli, it doesn't actually have to be connected. It's saying it's by definition connected. No, it doesn't mean that. You're trying to tell me that the way that the word chibur is used is to tell me that a virtual chibur means it doesn't need to be physically connected. And afagav the lo michbar, it says if it's michbar, I will prove to you that the word chibur is not used in that way ever. Because vatanya masperet shel perakim is moshe rehit. Let's see, very often you have kelim which consists of two parts. There's no such thing as one hand clapping, and there's no such thing as one half of a scissor cutting. So a scissor has two parts. Either you've got both parts, or you don't have both parts. Right? There's no such thing as a plane without a blade doing its work. So it's got two parts, it's got the handle, it's got the little piece you stick inside of it. Those things are a chibur latuma, and they're not a chibur lazo. Now, we discussed this before. And we ask, what do you mean? Mamonim Shach. If something is a chibur, then it should be a chibur for afilu la'azayah. And if you're telling me it's not considered to be a chibur, we love chibur hu, so then even for tumah it shouldn't be a chibur. And Rabbah explained over there that the explanation of that Mishnah is that the truth is, Dvar Torah, now notice that nobody spoke about the question whether it's actually physically connected. Of course it's physically connected. The difference is that Bishat Milacha, when you're actually cutting with the scissors and it comes into contact with Tumah, then it doesn't matter which piece of the scissor comes into Tumah, because at that point it is one item. But that's only when it's actually being used. So then it's a chibur, and there it would also be a chibur, obviously, for Azoya. So Bein LaTumah, Bein LaAzoya. But if you have a scissors lying on a shelf, and it's not Bishat Milacha, then it's not a chibur of anything. Nonetheless, the Chachomi made a gezerah. So there were gozeron tumah shelo b'shat melacha, so that either part will always be tameh. Because otherwise people, if you say, no, if it's on the shelf, only the part that touched the tumah, then they won't know the difference between b'shat melacha and shelo b'shat melacha. So there were always gozer tumah, even shelo b'shat melacha, b'shum tumah, it is b'shat melacha. And they were gozer that Azoya should not help. Even Bishat Melacha, because people will think that Azoya on one part helps, show up Bishat Melacha. Okay, but do you see clearly that the word Chibur is by definition Chibur, physical Chibur? We just get in the other issue, but it needs to actually be Bishat Melacha. So don't try to tell me it means virtual Chibur. Therefore, I'm back to the problem. The fact that a Hedyard can put it back together again is meaningless. Explain to me why it's a Kli when it doesn't work. I'll tell you why, says Rava. Elam Rava. The point is, the clapper is not a kli. It's the bell that's the kli. You know why? Because a bell without a clapper, you can bang on something and it'll ring. Therefore, it's no different than any kli, which is broken, but it still does me'in malachta rishona. So the kli broke, has a big hole in it. Can it still hold pomegranates if it doesn't hold peanuts? So it's still a kli. But if you had originally made it like that, it wasn't finished yet, then it wouldn't be a kli. That's the point. So now everything fits in. So if you have a bell that was meant to ring and you never made the invult, it's not nigmar malachta. You put it together and an invult was in it, it's nigmar malachta makabel tumah. The invult falls off or it's removed, only the actual bell, not the invult, remains shaykh to be makabel tumah. And we can apply that to all of the cases that we had before, and everything works out fine. The eved is considered to be makabel tumah because that isn't made for ringing bichlal. So a takshin is makabel tumah because of the din of takshin, not because of a kli. That's rashmi akol. Once we understand that, all of the cases where we said before, even where it's the kala avide, those cases are makabel tumah only at such time that they actually have the inval. It is, as far as the inval is concerned, that's because we need them to actually be made with that inval. Ushmul amar kava da avdatznan umiyamar shmul achi veamar shmul yotzei aevet bechotam shebetzavaro avolo bechotam shebiksuto lo kasha de avad le'rabi adavad yulen nafshe b'mayim kim tulad the shmul de avad le'rabi. So then, what's wrong with going out bechotam shebiksuto amaylo? Ah, that's because the mamavzik amirton mikvelay mochet le'akat v'kenu vizur b'yosef. Don't be vizur b'yosef. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I would say betalit mekupelat u'menachet ba'aktefa b'shabbat chayav chatav ki yodam le'shmel arkinon abar shila. Look, all of the other guys in the Beiresh Galuta, they better be careful not to be lafke b'sarbe le'chatime. But you, lavar minach chinon abini lo kapei alecha the Beiresh Galuta. What about the bright that it says, shall we say the same thing that we said to distinguish Shmuel from the Mishnah? And therefore, no. In this case, there's another issue. The difference is Kambishal Matechet, where he's going to carry it back home, the Kambishal Tit, where he just leaves it where it fell because it's valueless. Anything, that he would be angry if he leaves it, and Achinami Mistaba, because it's got to be talking about Matechet here. What's that supposed to mean? Okay, then you can tell me these things, Hani made of Matechet and Makabel Tuma. But real Caleb Didu would be Makabel Tuma. But if we're talking about Bishalti, it's not. What do you mean, Hani? It's not Makabel Tuma. Hani is not Makabel Tuma, but Caleb are Makabel Tuma. Hatanya Kle Avanim Kle Glalim Kle Adama, ain't Makabel Tuma at all. Lobid Ibrahim Torah, Lobid Ibrahim Sofrim. Ela Shmamina, Shomatechet, Shmamina. Homama, Lobizuk Shibet Savaro, Aviotzer Bezuk Shibet Suto. I don't understand. Zuki Betzavaro, my law, I understood because Dimon Bivsik Vatilatuye. So why wouldn't the same thing be true of Zuk Shibet Suto Nami Lechish Dimon Bivsik Vatilatuye? No. Zuk Shibik Sutor is talking about Achma Eskin and Mecha Be Mumcha. Can Ravuna Bereda Rav Yeshua? The Ravuna Bereda Rav Yeshua. Koshu Aru Glo Gazru in the other sense of the rule. Oma Marlot, it's a Bema Lobachot of Shibet Savarav, Lobachot of Shibik Sutta, Velobazuk Shibet Savarav, Lobazuk Shibik Sutta, Zev Zain Mekablin Tuma. Why not? Zuga Bema, Zamakabu Tuma, Mapiton. Vraminu Zuk Shibema is Tamei. A shaldelet is star because it's bechubar lekarka. A shaldelet v'yasol a beima becomes tamei immediately, but a beima and made it a delet does not lose its tuma. For shkiplo a delet even with nails, it retains its tuma because of the rule. Kol akevin yordim b'day tubatam v'achshavai no limitay tubatam ela bishuni u'maaseh. But anyway, how do you explain the fact that a zug of a beima is mekabel tuma? If it has an inba, then it serves the adam. It's not because it's a tachshit. I understand, manushah. I mean, you're calling it a mana, then it should be without an inba too. If it's not a mana, how does a little clapper turn it into a mana? Oh, yes, indeed it does. In. Don't that even a kli meant only to create sound, mashmiya kol, beklei matachot, that is tamei, sheneemar kol davar asher yavo ba'esh, taviru ba'esh, afil dibur yavo ba'esh. Okay, so now, what are we talking about here? V'mayu kim to b'let le'inbo. So then how do you explain the evet thing? But if it doesn't make any noise, why would it be mekabel tuma? I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, it's different for human. But it isn't. Because doesn't it say for aminoz zog l'machteshet, or for an arisa, which is human, mitpachot sfarim, mitpachot tinokot, all this is human use. Yeshem inbo tmeim elem inbo torim. Nitlu inbo layem adayim tumatan alayim. Yeah, but that's because we're talking about kids. Hanamila bitinok, the whole point, or for the besamim, the whole point of it over there is for the noise, to the kala avidle. Mashenke, but the ebed, the point is of the noise. The point is the look. Your God is a takshitle. Afagav the letle inba. Omarma, nitluin bileyem adain tumatan aleyem. Why is that? Why isn't it broken? Lamai chazer. Omarabai, it's not broken because anybody can just put it back in. Hoyo shed yot yacholach zero. Matif rabba. Hazug vainval chibur. Vechitem okikama. That it's a virtual chibur, meaning it doesn't really need to be mechubar. That afagav the lo mechubar, it's as if it's mechubar. No, no, that's not what chibur means. Vatanya, masporet shoprakim izmo shorayitne is a chibur latuma. Vein chibur lehazah. And as we pointed out over there, we asked, manavshah, if it's a chibur, why is it a chibur afil lehazah? If it's not a chibur, then it shouldn't be a chibur even latuma. And Rabba explained, vat, Rabba shat malacha chibur ben latuma ben lehazah. Shelo b'shat melacha ein chibur lo l'tumah v'lo l'azo v'gazra al tumah shelo b'shat melacha b'shum tumah shi b'shat melacha v'alazah shi b'shat melacha b'shum azah shelo b'shat melacha. But it darn well is physically mechubar. Elam Arava, the answer is simple. It's broken, but only the inbal is broken. The zug itself is not broken. Why? Because all of a roila kishraga becharas, it still is osa me'ein malakto. It manami amrabi esmerkina, over a ui la kisho agabecharas.
Maintain and stay for a while. They did this thing, but then in the end, the application actually worked. key book of today's daf is very comforting. Daf Nun Ches. I can barely see anything since I'm wearing my non-reading sunglasses. I left my glasses at home.
You turned the light facing
that. This is terrible. Okay, the last thing that we had yesterday was a Shmuel's pshat that a kavla the avda would be what the Mishnah is referring to when it's referring to kavla, and the kavul therefore that it says in the Mishnah is talking about the case in which mutter to go out v'stufatzer, where an eved made a kavla for himself. So over there, there's no chashash of falling off and so on. He's going to bring it back. Mashen came the kavla that his master made for him. That's a problem because there. He's going to end up taking the baguette, folding it over his shoulder in order to make it clear that it wasn't, or not make it clear, but at least it shouldn't be noticed that he was going around without it. So, the problem is today we run into an additional requirement to make a chilek between kaplas, as we'll see, gufa. And we're holding about one third of the way down. Omar Shmuel, Yotzei ha'evet b'chotem shebetzavaro, avalo b'chotem shebiksufa. Now here it says that the evet can go out if he's wearing a chotam around his neck. He cannot go out wearing a chotam in his cloak. The problem is that we have a bride that it does not like that. Raminu. Lo yitzei ha'evet b'chotam shetzavaro, v'lo b'chotam shebiksuto. First of all, both of them are mutter. So, I mean, the assumption is over here that we're talking about a case of a chotam that is made out of garbage, basically. In other words, it's shoptit. It's a regular chotam, it's sandstone. It's not an expensive thing. Therefore, if he's wearing the chotam shebetzavaro, so if it breaks, it breaks. There's no possibility of his carrying it back, because what's the point? He's not going to prove that he didn't break it. It isn't worth anything that the other is going to be mocked on him, so why didn't you bring back the pieces? So he's in trouble anyway. One way or the other, makes no difference to him to bring it back. Mashenkin, when he's talking about the chotam shebetzavaro, there we have a problem. Because the chotam should be ksut, our problem isn't that it'll bring back the chotam, but rather they'll take off the ksut, fold it over his shoulders, and walk with it that way, so it shouldn't be immediately noticeable that he's walking around without his chotam, which is a whole different point. So we understand the difference here. And so that means that we've got an additional factor to take into consideration. Yesterday we spoke about two things. First of all, the difference between the chotam shebetzavaro and the ksuta that we have now. And secondly, the difference between the kavla that he made for himself and the kavla that his adon made for him. Now, the problem is that we have a braita that says that... I'm sorry, but I just don't see properly, so it takes me a moment when I look up to find a place like that. V'zeh v'zeh ein mekablin tuma. Now, neither would be mekabel tuma, because neither are considered to be a takshit, and therefore something that's a kli that's a kabel tuma. Aval yotzeihu bizug shebichsutzo. However, he can go out with a bell that's in his baguette. V'lo bezuk shebetzavaro. That's really disaster. Can't walk out wearing a bell around his neck, but he can walk out with a bell in his suit. V'zeh v'zeh mekablim tuman. A bell is mekabel tuman in either way. And we'll see what the difference is in terms of the zuk shebetzavaro mitzvato later, in terms of his going out. But this is the Eved. When it comes to Behema, any Yitzhiyah with a Chotim is Osir. V'lo bezug shebiksuta, v'lo bezug shebetzavara, and any Zug is Osir. And Zeh v'zeh, ein mekablin tuma. It's not that we can have a chashash by the Behema that maybe he'll carry it, because we've already said it's worthless if it breaks. But the idea over here, as we said before, is that a Behema that's Yotze v'zug, it's mitzik amandaz v'chiva. It looks like it's going to market, and so maybe we have the third issue. Masa, and also the Nifzik Teatriya Lechinga, something that is not relevant to the Eved, but is relevant to the Behema. V'zeh v'zeh ein mekablin tuma, and that type of chota or zug would also not be mekabel tuma, because as we've already seen, animal kelim are not mekabel tuma, only human kelim are mekabel tuma. Now, I know that your first reaction is that you can answer the contradiction, that where does Shmuel say Yotzei ha'eved b'chotam shebetzavaro v'lo b'chotam shebiksuto, whereas the Braita says you can't go out with either? The difference is very simple, no? I mean, didn't Shmuel already tell us yesterday? There's an afkamina if you make it for yourself, or if you made it for, it was made for you by the Rav. So shall we say here too, Lema hodi ovad le'rave, hodi ovad il'nafshin? Shall we say that? Says the Gemara, no, we shall not say that. even though it offers itself as yet another indication that that distinction is a valid distinction, and we made it yesterday to distinguish between the case in the Mishnah and between Shmuel's own Maimer, and Shmuel understands the Mishnah referring to a Kabbalah the Abba, and yet Shmuel's own Maimer that it's an evidence is Yotze, Bechotim Shibet Savaron, and we explain the difference precisely this way, depends whether he's afraid, and therefore he may end up putting his beged over his shoulders. And yet, for some reason, the Gemara is Docha, that possibility here. Why? Because over there, in our Mishnah, we could be talking about the typical chotam. A typical chotam is made out of sandstone, and therefore it doesn't matter if it falls off. It's not going to be able to bring it back if it's outside of the because it isn't worth anything. He can't, in bringing it back, prove to his other that he wasn't the one who broke it off in the first place, and that's what he's afraid of. So there would be no chashash. Mashenke, when it's on his beged, there is a chashash that he'll fold his beged. The thing is, though, we are going to shortly prove that the case that we're talking about over here is not talking about a sandstone, and we're going to be the dive path from the tuna issues, but rather it's got to be talking about metal. And if it's talking about metal, then in fact you would bring it back because of the value of what's left. And it's repairable and so on. So there we wouldn't be able to say, therefore, the nafkamina, because even, let's say, that you're going to try to say there's a nafkamina between himself and his other, but the point is that there's still a reason to bring it back, even on the tzara, you see. And therefore, there's no way to work it out in this case, because the tzara is not explainable. So therefore, we cannot say that, and rather the Gemara says, no. The truth is that both cases that we're talking about, the case of Shmuel made, and the case in the Braita that says that lo, the Eved cannot be Yotze lo b'chotem, and Shibet Savaro, and lo b'chotem Shibet Savaro, and Nafkamina is that it's talking about Shel Matechet, in this case, as we'll see. Whereas in the case of Shmuel was talking about was B'sholtit. And if it was B'sholtit, it's obvious what the difference is between Savaro and Suta. Savaro, there's no chashash. Either it will break or won't break. If it breaks, he's just going to leave it there. Ksuto, if it breaks, he's going to take off his ksut, fold it up and put it over his shoulder, not to bring it back, but simply that it shouldn't be noticeable that he's not wearing his chotam. And the case we had before was Michel Tit, something that the rab is makbid on and he would like to get it back there. We're afraid that if it falls off, he's going to bring it back. And by the way, we're not just saying this, take a look at the context of Tuma. Okay, explain that to me. Because I'll tell you one thing, if we're talking about sandstone, I don't understand why we're having this discussion at all. Nothing made out of sandstone would be a Kabbal Tuma. What do you mean it's not the Kabbal Tuma? The reason it's not the Kabbal Tuma has nothing to do with its purpose. It would not be finding the Kli. It's simply that anything made out of, and this is certainly not a place to teach us the dinim of sandstone care. So the idea, therefore, in this Mishnah Basmi, if you're going to tell me we're talking about indeed a metal chota, so then it makes sense to make the distinction of what's mekabel tuma. Hanehu delo mekabel tuma, but true kelim made out of this metal would have been mekabel tuma. In which case, you would be giving me a insight into the nature of a non-decorative instrument of identification is not a kli. Thank you very much. But if you're talking about a sandstone kli, I mean, I understand why are we having this discussion? Ilamit bishal titan. So what are you saying? That because it's a chotem, therefore it's not a kabbal tuma, but if it would be a full class kli, it would be a kabbal tuma. That's certainly not true. Hani udalo mekabel tuma, hakelim didu ar mekabel tuma, vatanya klei avanim, klei gilalim, klei adama, en mekabelim tuma, lo midibrei Torah, velo midibrei sofrim. So why bother mentioning a chotem? It's a mission. We can't have any type of such kabbalist tuma. I mean, the Torah never was marba. Kabbalist tuma on unbaked clay or other type of things that are made out of raw earth. Rashi here says the clay. Remember, we had two Rashi's. Clay galalim, referring to marble. Galal is the word for marble throughout the Neo and so on in Aramaic. Or galalim, referring to dung, which is still used today, animal dung, kalim. But anyway, shmamina shem matechet, shmamina. So clearly we're talking about matechet. Once we're talking about matechet, it's not going to help us to make the distinction of ha David le rabbe and ha David iul le. So that means we have three elements that we need to take into consideration when it comes to determining the issues over here, legati the kabbal, according to Shmuel. One is, what is it made out of? If it's made out of something that is going to be brought back, then you have a chashash that it's going to break off, he's going to carry it, which is a rab, and then it would be yasir, no matter what circumstances. Other issue is, where is this chotam located? Is it a chot not made out of a valuable material? Is it a chotam on the neck, or is it a chotam on a beged? If it's a chotam on a beged, then you have a different chashash. You may carry the beged in a way that's not malbush in order to avoid it being noticeable that it's no kabel on it. And then you have the other question, okay, who made it? If it was made by you, and we don't have such a chashash, as if it were made by the adayin, because it's not going to be makbet, it's something that you put there yourself, or not as makbet, that supports out. There's obviously some hakfada, because we're asr and partial, you see it. Now, I'd like to understand this. There's a difference between walking out with a bell, if it's around his neck, or if it's attached to his beged. And this is a type of decoration. I mean, obviously, the eved's not walking around to go ding, ding, ding to the azil lechinda. But it was a way of identifying, but it's also pretty. So what would be the difference? I mean, I assume that zuk shebetzavaro, my law, not because it's a masui, but because dilma mifsik vatei la'atuye. Well, if you're worried about carrying, and it says, why is it only going to fall off your neck and not fall off of the clothing? So if it falls off the clothing, you have the same problem. You're going to carry it back. So explain to me the difference. Dilma mifsik vatei la'atuye, zuk shebetzavaro, nami lechush dilma mifsik vatei la'atuye. Ah. We're talking over here about a bell that was connected to the beged through weaving by a weaver. So it was professionally connected, manufactured in this way. It's exceedingly unlikely that such a thing is going to fall off. And we now see a completely new approach to the maimah that we had at Ravuna, where we were talking about the gzeira on things that were woven, which in the original context only had to do with water penetration. And the question of whether you would have to remove it from your hair. Strangely enough, and this truly is strange, because it confirms the structure of a Mishnah that mixed two issues that seem to be totally unrelated, was the question of tefillah and the chashash would take something out of your hair for tefillah, with a general chashash of tachshit on Shabbos. And there we said, okay, well, you know, it's no problem. What are you asking? If there's something that was a tube-like structure for decoration, you know, which is an oru comrade, that's your problem. Nothing that is oru is going to prevent water from getting. All of a sudden here, we find out that there was a much broader context in which that was said. Nothing that is oru is gozer on Shabbos, meaning that anything that was woven into a beggar, there's not a chance of falling off, boing. A completely different meaning. And it was saying that it extended to that as well. Not only lo gazru in terms of tefillah, lo gazru in terms of nefilah. So he too used a very general statement to cover both issues of the Mishnah in a way that has two completely different meanings, mind you. Koshu arug is just in terms of the construction in the case of the tefillah, and that it's water permeable. Koshu arug here requires not the ariga, but rather shemicha b'mumcha. It's something that's professional. It doesn't even mean the same thing. And yet, in the same way that the Mishnah covers two bases with one stone, so to speak, so does Ravuna.
It's so well woven and won't fall off.
Won't fall off?
The bell was woven?
Yeah. You know, they make children clothing like this, where they have these cute little bells that are actually part of the beggar.
The bell itself is metal.
The bells are attached to the other animals.
We're talking about jingle bells here. We're not talking about...
I'm just wondering that the bell itself isn't woven, the weaving is just the attachment.
Yeah, that would be bad. But the point is, it's manufactured professionally. It's about what's the chance it's going to fall off? Are you worried your buttons are going to fall off? I mean, that's only nowadays I'm saying, but when they really manufacture things. Oh, my God. By the way, it isn't even true anymore, you'll notice. You notice that there's been a massive change over the past 10, 20 years in which buttons no longer fall off of shirts. You don't even remember what it used to be like. There's been an immense change in the technology.
Pull the string.
What?
I don't let you pull the string.
But it rarely happens that you even get into a position of pulling the string. It used to be part of what the cleaners would do. It would be reattaching your buttons about every time you went through it. So there's been a whole change in the technology of buttons, just by the way. There was another thing that's changed in the technology of buttons. They used to break all the time. Remember how they used to break? It's been also a massive improvement. It used to be that somebody who didn't want his buttons to break would only use ivory buttons. The last ivory button manufacturer went out of business 2 years ago because of the change in the material technology of buttons. So there you go. You could have bought the machines. It was an ancient family business. Been in the family for a long time.
They have a lot of ivory all over the world.
That's a problem, too. Yes. Okay. Hafozba, hafozba, rekulaba. Omar, lo tekse be'ima, lo bechotem shebetzavara, lo bechotem shebechasuta. So here, we're going to have to say the problem certainly is not Dima Atila today. Certainly not a problem that it's Mirsa Be'atila Chinga. We have to say, when it comes to Behema, that a chotem is simply masa. It's not considered to be really a shmira and so on. V'lo bezuk shebetzavara, v'lo bezuk shebetzuta, which already is a kshash of Shema Yipol, v'zevzeh in mekablim tuma. Now this is fascinating. We're saying that a bell, and it's a cowbell, the cowbell is not mekabel tuma. You're telling me zuk shebehima in mekabel tuma? V'raminu zuk shebehima tamem. Remember the discussion about something that is used for a human's shmira or redia, dancing bears and all that, oh my, that is considered to be a human instrument, therefore it's mekabel tuma. Here it says the parish, zuk shebehima is tamem. Shel delet tahor, a doorbell is indeed tahor, because a doorbell is considered to be mechuvah. So over there, even though a human obviously is making use of the doorbell, but it's something which is not going to be mekabel tuma, it's a bottle to the house. And therefore anything that is mechuvah is not mekabel tuma. In a case where it was originally a doorbell, and you turned it into an animal bell, shel delet v'yasel v'imah, at that moment it becomes tameh, meaning roi lekabel tuma, of course. But the other way around, if it was originally a cowbell, and now you attach it to your door to become a doorbell, I don't care what you did, because you could have gone through a whole construction thing. If you didn't make a change in the actual bell, then you're not going to change its status in terms of Kabbalah Tumah, for the very famous reason, which is the fundamental rule in Tumah, that kol hakelim yordim bidei tumah b'machshava. Therefore, the fact that you took this off the door and put it onto the cow, despite the fact that you made no change in it, to turn something into a kli, b'machshava. But to take away the shame of a kli, b'maase. But they're not yotzi midei tumatam b'machshava, ela b'maase. That's the cardinal rule for tumat, for kelim. And therefore, here's a classic example. You took a bell off of an animal, and you figure, look at this, I'm making so many shinuyim, and I'm drilling holes in the door and screwing it in, but you're making shinuyim in the bell. You're only making a chibur. It's like, yeah, a very, very intricate chibur. But that doesn't change anything. And therefore will not be going, losing its tumor, losing its ability to be mekabel tumah. Ein yo'olim midei tumah, elo b'shinui maaseh. In any event, it does say over here very clearly that an animal bell is mekabel tumah. Why does the Braita say an animal bell? It's not mekabel tumah. That's not a problem. Either eat lein bell or delet lein bell. It depends if it has the clapper in it. So if it has a clapper, then it's mekabel tuma, because then it's being used for the adam, for the shmira of his behemah, and so it becomes now a human kli. Masha'in kein, if it doesn't have a clapper, so then it's not going to be considered a kli. Now, wait.
What's the point of it?
So then, well, either because you could put in a clapper, or because, it will see later on, or because it's beautiful, so it's noy. But Lamaisa, the Gemara right now assumes that we're talking about something which the whole point of it was that it's a real bell, so therefore we ask a monoshak. I mean, if you hold that it has a din of a mon, right, so then you'd have to say, the Gemara's Havamina here is, that you cannot define something as an instrument because it's a musical instrument. In other words, music is something that is yotze from a kli, but is not considered to be a fundamental tool of an adam that would give it a din of kelim, because the list of kelim that we see in terms of the Gemara, in terms of the Klei Midyan and so on, seems to be talking about things that are used as direct tools for manipulation. So eating out of, eating with, cooking in, and so on and so forth. Extending that idea to a musical instrument, the Gemara holds, is an unwarranted extension. In which case, Mumanusha, if you hold that it's considered to be a kli, well, it's not coming if it has a clapper. If you hold that in and of itself it's not considered to be a kli, then how is the clapper going to make it a kli just because now it becomes a valuable musical instrument? Where do we see that musical instruments, qua music, are considered to be kelim? This is Gemara's happening. So yes, the Gemara of Shach. I mean, if you hold that imonahu, so then even if it doesn't have the invil in it, v'ilav monahu, are you telling me that a clapper turns a bell into an instrument? Invil mashgul imona? Says the Gemara, absolutely. In. Kedrab Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer of Yonatan. How do we know that musical instruments made out of metal that serve no purpose but the creation of music is considered to be a kli, because it says kol davar asher yavo be'esh taviru be'esh, and as we always do when we find the word davar, we mean dibur. In other words, it always has a secondary meaning of information, speech. Well, sound with meaning. So that means that therefore a musical instrument is itself a tremendous tish. Obviously, this doesn't mean that you have to burn it. It doesn't mean that in order to make kosher music, it has to be kosher in Haggadah or with a blowtorch.
Whatever.
Otherwise, the music isn't kosher. There's a lot of people who think that.
If
you get a Beatles, but Dafka not kosher. So if you want to make it kosher, you have to first burn up the record. But as Tosfos points out, it's obviously being learned as an im eno inyan. In other words, it means in the context of the inyan, we're including, yes, the Pashas are supposed to be talking about the din of kashas in terms of eating out of. But if we're being merames to a dibur, a clay dibur, obviously that's nothing to do with eating. In which case, the only thing it would have to do with is to give it a din of Tumah V'Tahira, literally, not Tumah V'Tahira in terms of Achila. We also use the word Tumah V'Tahira. In general, the Torah often puts together those two circuits. If there's one, Tahira Skelim, Tfilah Skelim, in a mikvah that you get from a goy, and Haggadah Skelim are therefore related here, even though on the surface there's no connection.
And the mikvah, used for an animal.
So it's my dancing barbiton, or it's the way in which I find out where my animal is. It communicates to me.
If you have a metal kli for the animal to eat out of, study the animal, is that...
Yeah, that's my kli to feed the animal. But let's say a noy la behema, which noy la behema is not considered to be a kli, but for an animal it would be a kli. Again, anything that you use to control the animal, if you want to use your own, is your kli, it's not the animal's kli. You ask the animals, you can take it. It's okay. Ashenkin, the Rambam's famous attractive clothing for animals. Yes, I love it. Yeah, this is an astounding extension. It's a riff, really. I mean, the Rambam's following the riff in there. But I mean, we definitely find such in yoni in nature. Right? You have power birds and something like that. The idea of decoration, utilizing artificial things for decorating, is found very often in nature. But the extension into an idea of making a piece of cloth pretty. You know? Yeah, but the mice, I mean, you understand. If you leave a ribbon out there, it's very likely a bird's going to pick it up and use it for decoration of all kinds of things.
That's why you get the 100 and all over this.
So, to continue. All right, you're now talking about Sibamayokin. How have you explained the case? That the case is it's not Makabal Tumah, not because it's not Kalim, for an animal is not Makabal Tumah, but because it's not a ringing kli, the let lay invo. That was your explanation. If that's your explanation, I challenge you to explain the other case in the same Braita, which says that it is Makabal Tumah. Ema Mitziata. The middle case, which is talking about the Ebed, as opposed to the animal, is undoubtedly, I mean, we're not going to start switching cases on us if we're trying to contrast one with the other, right? So here it says, V'lo v'zuk shebet savaro, avo yotzeu v'zuk shebet suto, v'ze v'ze mekablim tum'ah, no. Idelet le'invo, mi mekabli tum'ah. If l'maisa, this bell, does not have a clapper in it, why would it be mekabli tum'ah for the Ebed? Raminu, o'se zagin l'machteshet u'la'arisa, somebody who makes bells and adds them to his grinder. Now, why would somebody add bells to his grinder? A very simple reason. I'm missing such beautiful things. Okay. So the perception was, you learned out that if you have sound going on at the same time that you're making perfume, grinding perfume, that makes it more pungent. And since it makes it more pungent, which of course you will note that in all Chazal, smell and information are fundamentally interrelated. Are you aware of that?
Smell what?
Smell and information. Communication of information. V'agadla shemecha. First Rashi. when we talk about that idea of shame. Means it's like a bottle of perfume that will be moved all over the world, right? But this is constant. Every single time you'll find a targum always utilized, let's say in Shir HaShirim, we have a where he talks a lot about smell. Targum nofak shama bisha ba'alma. Okay, so here too you have the smell of the thing is related to sound. To the information of the sound.
Taste?
Yeah, I'm not talking about taste. So therefore a person would put bells onto his grinder, so it should sound good. And you might put it on an arisa, which we do till today, on a child's crib. This is one of the most beautiful ones. We do this too, but we don't remember why. On a sacred Torah, we put those little bells on the thing. We don't remember why. There's a fantastic Rashi here that says the reason that they did that was because it was a good humor bell. So the kids would hear the bell and know that it was time to come running to class. It was our school bells. But here's Tara as the good humor truck. So we still have those bells on our Sifrei Torah without remembering what it was
all about. I thought it was a very pleasant reason for that, which applies even today, is that you're looking over here and you hear the bells and you know it's time to stand up.
You can't ring it on Shabbos anyway.
When the Sifrei Torah comes past you, you look up, you see it's there, because you hear the ring and you stand up for it.
I'm saying, but you can't do it today for the ringing. It's got to be back to the ring. Then it would be already the end of the
Sifrei Torah. But my son, it's a practical benefit.
Yeah,
sure. Just standing up the Sifrei
Torah. Right.
It's happened with me many times. So I'm saying, I've been looking over here and I hear bells and I, oh, the Sifrei Torah, stand up.
Yeah, well, that same thing is a school
bell.
They won't carry a safer with a belt. Okay, and the other thing, let me pachot min hakot. Okay, so let me pachot. I wish you would start giving it out over here. Let me pachot. I mean, here we're full of tinokot aborchim. You get a safer, maybe. So the mitpachot tinokot. This is an interesting thing because we do this too, and I never understood why. We make the baby bibs with these little jingle bells on them. So did they. Interesting. But anyway, somebody who makes these things, they only are mekabel tuma as metal kli if yesh lehem inbal. So then they're tumim. But ein lehem inbal, then they're tohorim. If they were mekabel tuma first, when they had the inbal in them, and then nitluim b'lehen, and then now, which is the case with children's bells, they managed to break everything. So they pulled out the inbal. They're still going to retain their tuma. Now this is fascinating because Rashi says. Big machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. It's a fundamental machlokas bichlal in Kalim. Rashi learns that there are three levels of Kabbalah Stuma. There's the Kabbalah Stuma initially, then there's the Ole Midei Tumasam, which were the two categories that we had up front in the Sukkah. Yorda Lidei Tumasam B'Machshava, in Ole Midei Tumasam Ela B'Maisam. However, there is a middle stage. The middle stage is that if something had already been Mekabel Tuma, it is possible to reduce it, but not to take away its tumah. So there's over here. If the inval had been mekabel tumah as a full kli, taking off now the zug rather had been the zug as the combined, taking out the inval is not going to make the difference to make it lose its tumah. However, wasn't well, that's not breaking it. However, if it was wasn't mekabel tumah, if it doesn't have an inval, it will not be mekabel tumah now. Tosfos says, where in the world? You get an artificial distinction like that. Therefore, what the Gemara must be talking about is initially, meaning if you never had an inval in it in the first place, so then it's like Golmei Kli Matechet. It's not finished on the Kabbalah Tumah. Once the inval had been inserted in it, it's still under a Golem. So then, if you take it out, it isn't called break. Problem is that the Ritzba brings a riot from the Braisa in Kalim, Tosefta Kalim, which makes the same distinction that Rashi makes, or seems to. And Tosefta's response to that was, well, Bryce doesn't always agree with our Gemara anyway. So, okay, but in any event, the fascinating sugya.
Isn't it a bigger maisha than taking out the inbox? What more of a maisha can you do?
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, we'll see why that's not a maisha in a moment. Why it's considered to be an important maisha. So now, Omar, nitblu. No, where am I? I'm sorry. Elam inbox tohor. Nitblu inbalayim adayim tovatamalayim. So, why is it that if we're talking about Evetz begodim without an inval, why isn't it the same as at Elohim inval de Taharim? Because Hanemile de Tinok, the Lakala Avi, the whole point of a child's bell is that the same reason we use rattles. The children are fascinated by the noise. So we make put things on their begodim, on their arisa that makes noise. An Evet is not fascinated by the noise, I guarantee you. Avogadol Takshit, it's kavatum is a tashit hulei afagav the let leinbo. Doesn't really matter whether it's mitten boys or not. It's a decorative leinbo. Oh my god. Nitlu in the lehem a diet, which by the way is a very important idea because it has implications for our modern watches. In other words, a non-working decoration which imitates a kli that is used for purposes may still be considered to be a tachshit. In other words, it's by no means clear that because a watch has stopped working that it is now considered to be a masur. A tachshit that is the tzura of a watch but not a working watch may still have it in a tachshit. Now it becomes a different question whether this is something that is normally done and so on. One could certainly argue that women's watches never work anyway. Mm-hmm. And even if they do, I'm going to use it properly. Okay. Oh, we're going to get to the whole problem of tachshit for men soon. Omar Mar, Niklu in Vilehem, Adain to Matan Aleichem. I don't understand. You said if we take off the inval, then it's still, even on the Tinoket, it's still considered to be a tumah and hasn't lost its tumah. Why, as our dear president has asked us quite formally, why is it not the ultimate in breakage of a bell to make it unringable? That would seem to be a fine way to break a bell. So what good is it, asks the Gemara, Lamai Chazum? Why is it not broken? Amar Abaye, Hoyol Shehediot Yochol Lahak Zero. Any idiot can put an inval back on a bell. All you have to do is hang it. It's the way it was usually made. So therefore, you cannot consider that to be breakage. Yes. Massive rabbi.
And therefore, if you would break it in a way not where you can't hang it.
That's how you say in modern Hebrew, an idiot. Idiot. No, really? Yeah, really good.
They don't like the saying idiot?
No, no, no. Idiot. Idiot is almost a curse word to be such an idiot. So, I remember my father's atzal was once this, had come here about 40 years ago. He was talking with, who was at the time a young female cousin of mine, and he was telling her over the Rambam. The Rambam says that Lashon HaKodesh, it's called Lashon HaKodesh because you can't curse it. You can't curse in Lashon HaKodesh. So she says, what are you talking about? We curse all the time. So he says, so tell me, what are you, no, I can't go. No, come on, it's really important. It's a Rambam, I gotta know. Tell me what your curse words are. So she hangs her head and says, idiot. Things have changed, but that's because of Arabic, not because of Lashon HaKodesh.
So if you,
this is a fascinating thing. Try to say something that has some type of Furian's element in it in Lashon HaKodesh. It's impossible.
Only Eliyahu's place.
Even that is not, it doesn't have the same sense of the filth of English. It has the bizayin. No, it's not that somebody says shechuzot is is talking about the sheet in Hebrew. It's not saying the same thing in English. Even though in a sense it's nastier in Hebrew than it is in English. Yeah, we're talking about curses in the sense of filthiness, something that's not
no language.
It's fascinating your point. Anyway, we get off the topic.
So again, so there is a
difference. That's your fault, this one.
So there is a difference then that if you break off the inbound in a way where you can't thank me.
Absolutely.
That's called
the shina. At least at this point, we're gonna see there's another explanation. Mostly brought up. Hazug va'inbal, chibur. Now look, it says over here that it's considered to be a chibur when you have a zug and an inbal. It's got to be all in yonim of tumah. Now it's one kli. It's only one part of often becomes tumah. Now, don't try to tell me that zug va'inbal chibur means that even when it's not connected, it's still considered to be a chibur, so that as soon as you put it back together again, if one part is tumah, the other part is tumah. No, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean it is an everlasting knot to have a zug va'inbal. We're friends forever, whether we're connected or not. No, that's not what it means. Why? I don't know it's not what it means. Because Vatanya, remember our famous case of the two pieces of a scissors. Masporet shel prakim, or an izmo shel hitne. Also very good friends. The plane and the little blade of the plane. Excellent friends. And nonetheless, it says over there, if you recall, chibur l'tuma ve'in chibur l'hazah. Now we asked over there, Mamanoshav. I mean, if it's considered to be a chibur, so they're not filu la'aza'ah, should be a chibur. And what's the difference whether you sprinkle the holder or whether you sprinkle the blade? On the other hand, if you're telling me it's not a chibur for haza'ah, why is it a chibur for tumah? And Rava's explanation, which was universally accepted, was that vartora b'sha'at melacha chibur b'ina tumah b'ina haza'ah. That if it's in terms of the dioraita When it needs to be mechubar, then and only then is it considered to be a diraita chibur. So I'm using it. The time that I'm using it, it becomes one thing. So then it would be true that, for sure, as I'm using it, it's a chibur, both the tumah and for hazel. But shelo bishat benakam, when I'm not in a state of needing to use this kli right now, eno chibur lo tumah velo lahazah, v'gazru al tumah shelo bishat benakam, mishut tumah shi bishat benakam, to be machmer, that it'll always be makabal tumah, v'chumah, v'yal hazah shi bishat benakam, that even though it ought to be good since I'm using it, but since people get me stuff and think it's good as well, even at a time that the kli is put together for storage purposes only, so where it goes there not to be a useful hazah, mishum hazah shelo bishat benakam. But I can tell you one thing. There was absolutely nobody who suggested that at a time that it's not mechubar, it's considered to be mechubar. The only question is, even when it is mechubar, that it was a chibur for the shat melacha. So come off it, man. It's certainly not considered to be a full kli if it's not mechubar. So I don't understand you. Elamar Rava, I have a different explanation. It's not because you can easily put the inbo back on, even if you're a hediot. It's because hoyel v'ra'ui la'kishol agabi cheres. You don't need to have a bell to have a bell. Because you can always, it's like a non-safety match. You don't need to have the box to light the match. So therefore, here too, you could take the bell and bang it on something else. And then it'll still ring. And so memela, it becomes now a kli. It doesn't lose its shein kli because it's not bottle from its initial melacha.
Before that inbo, originally goes on fever in this.
Originally,
words, if it didn't have the clapper to begin
with. This is called that adayim osim me'ein melachtam. In other words, a kli that is made in a particular way that continues to do the same job that it did, but wouldn't have initially been made in this way. So, in other words, it's broken. We have a famous case: you have a container that breaks, but it's still able to hold a little bit of oil or something like that. Right? That's the case that we have right here. Shibrei kelim. So even though lechatchila it wouldn't be considered to be a kli, unless I specifically made it for this, even though I made it for something else, but since it's still identifiable and usable as what it was, it doesn't lose its tumah. But lechatchila, it's not yet ready to be mekabel tumah.
But if you were to make that bell intentionally not to have a lechatchila, then
absolutely,
it's a kli.
Then it's a kli. Bring up the man. What's that? The truth is, I must tell you, there's an important complexity here which does springs up, and we'll talk about tomorrow when we go a little bit more into the details of the bells and the idea of me'ein melachto, because that's what we're talking about over here. It introduces a new concept, which is tomorrow's daf, of me'ein melacha versus me'ein melachto.